through our conversations together in a moment. Lord, may you change our hearts today through your Spirit. Amen. Peter, I made a mistake. There should have been an extra two verses at the front of what you just read. I'm just going to read them to us now as we begin. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And then he goes on to tell them that parable of the master and the servant. I wonder what you took from that reading. Was there anything that jumped out at you that you thought, oh, that doesn't sit comfortably? Or, yes, Jesus, amen. It's not our custom to do that in this church, but, you know, please always feel free to do that if you ever feel inspired. Is there anything that struck you? This is not a rhetorical question, genuinely.
Sounds a bit tough.
It sounds a bit tough. Okay, interesting. You were going to say the same.
It's not nice being told you should think of yourself as unworthy and just do as you're told.
Right, yes. It doesn't sit comfortably, does it? What about the bit that I just read about the faith as small as a mustard seed? Have you ever tried moving a mulberry tree? Just by faith? It's interesting. So when I was thinking about this, the two things that struck me and we're going to think about this morning here in the listening portion and then in a moment in our conversation and responsive portion, two things. What is faith and do we need more of it? Like the disciples asked. They said, increase our faith, Lord, to Jesus. Were the disciples right to ask for more faith? And two, who do we think is in control? Okay. So, starting with that first thought, what is faith and do we need more of it? The disciples are asking Jesus to increase their faith because they have just been challenged and they are about to be challenged again by that parable. They are often challenged by what Jesus says to them. And they think that if they had more faith, they would be more effective at what they were doing. They would be more effective disciples of Jesus. They think that they would be able to do more. And Jesus says, yeah, but if you had just the tiny amount of faith, you could do amazing things. So that makes me think, oh my goodness, I must have an infinitesimal amount of faith because I obviously don't even have the size of faith of a mustard seed because I don't think I could do that. The issue is we're thinking about faith wrong. I'm going to put it to you today that we've been thinking about faith the wrong way round, and I'm going to use the wonderful words of Tom Wright. I'm not going to claim any credit for this. Rethinking about faith. This is something that he has taught me, and I thought that's awesome. He would describe faith as not the thing itself, but faith is the window through which we see God. And that brings us back to the little experiment we did earlier. The three of them were standing here looking at the same image and all three could see the image on the screen. At one point, Sarah Jane could still see it. Okay, it might have been harder to see it, but she could still see that full scene of the mountains. Imagine yourselves in a house, maybe on the side of that lake that we just had. If you had a picture window, you could sit and gaze out of that marvellous view. It would be majestic and beautiful. But if you had a tiny bathroom window, you could still sit and look out on that marvellous view. Faith is the window. What we see through it is the marvellous view of God and who God is. And that doesn't change. Because that is the powerful, awesome creator of the world, who created the world out of nothing, who has the power to bring Jesus back from the dead, who had the power to change matter from water to wine, from sick people to well people. That is the God of the world who has that awesome power. That doesn't change. So therefore, even if we only have a tiny little picture window to look through, it is not our faith that affects the change in the world. It is that power of God that affects change in the world. It's not us. We don't need to ask for an increase in faith. The tiniest bit of faith still sees who God is. Which brings us to the second point, which I agree makes us feel uncomfortable. Because Jesus then said, what we're doing when we think we need more faith to be more effective is we are trying to take the power into ourselves. We are trying to control things. We are trying to bring about change by ourselves. We are not recognizing that it's God that does it. Imagine this story, the thought of slaves, servants, masters. It does have a whole heap of baggage. That means that sometimes when we hear these stories and accounts from Jesus, we can get distracted by our emotional response to those words. Imagine it more like a boss, your boss in your job, if you work. You wouldn't go into work and start telling your boss what to do and how to run the business. That is their role. I hope that they would want to listen to you. But it is not your role to run the business. It is theirs. You are paid to do your job. What Jesus is saying here is it's not you who affects change in the world. That is God. It's God's power. What we do is we are invited by God. That is the beautiful grace of God, that we are listened to and we are invited to join in. And God does want us to be a part of the action in the world. But ultimately, we have to recognize it is God's power, not ours, not our strength. Perhaps what we need to do, rather than pray, increase our faith, is take more time to sit and gaze on who God is, to be freshly inspired, to have our hearts enlarged, to blow our minds with how awesome God is, and then trust that God will act in the world, because God is good. And God will bring about good in God's good time. And praise God and thank you, Jesus, that we are invited to be a part of that change. But we must always remember our place. We are not God. So now we're going to continue exploring it ourselves. It's no good just sitting listening to me. Half of you have probably switched off already because I've droned on. So this is the point where we start thinking ourselves and talking to each other. So there are various different ways that we can explore this passage, what I've just said, and our own thoughts. If you are a more active person and you like something physical to be able to take away with you to help you to remember what we've talked about, then we are going to practice making windows onto God. Now, some of you might think that I am being heretical here, because I'm going to invite you to create an image of God. Okay? I said to Christian earlier, I'm going to go and make my image of God. And she said, right, that means you're going off to paradise. We'll carry on the service without you because you'll be a while. She's right. But I've done my best attempt. What we're going to do is we're going to create picture windows. So you have a little window that gives you a part of the picture, which you open up and see a glorious picture of God. Okay? No judgment is here. There is no expertise, there's no need to be perfect in this church. I hope that people will always realize that. But how do you imagine God? It might be people, it might be, I don't know. I don't even want to put ideas into your head. This is for you. We will not be showing these to each other. This is for you to take home so that you can gaze on God through your window, however big. You can make that window as big as you like in the front. Anyway, if you want to do that, there is a whole heap of things to just have fun with on this table. If you are more of a reflective type person and you want to just go and sit on your own with these thoughts and ponder, or if you simply want to take time to gaze on God, I invite you up into the chancel to come and sit around these chairs. You can move them around. gaze on whatever helps you to focus on God. I've put a few images here. There's an icon too, which icons are always about windows. They are windows into God. They are not the thing itself. They are the window to enable us to encounter God. So if you want to sit and just spend time gazing and being in God's presence, you are invited up here. If you want to have a conversation, we have some copies of Psalm... Oh, I want to say 97. No, 37. There we go. Psalm 37, with some questions as well. So you might want to read this together and ponder it together, and there will be some questions at the bottom of it that you can talk to each other around your tables. However you best learn and respond and explore this idea, I invite you to go and take part.